Good morning. It's 39 minutes past the hour at Faith Radio. How did the former director of the U.S. Mint help his employees find meaning and purpose in their work by implementing Christian principles on the job? Joining us with that story and what all of us can learn from it is Bethany Jenkins. She's the director of the Gospel Coalition's Every Square Inch and the director of vocational and career development at the King's College in New York City. Good morning, Bethany.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. You recently wrote an inspiring article about the work of Ed Moy. He's the former director of the U.S. Mint. And when Ed took over as the Mint's director back in 2006, employee morale was incredibly low. In fact, it was on the best places to work in federal government survey, ranking 211 out of 217 federal agencies. What did Ed initially do to try to turn things around?
Well, it was interesting. I've known Ed for years. We actually worked together in the Bush White House, or I was in the State Department as a presidential appointee. So I enjoyed to tell him his story because I've heard it for so many years. But basically, he had a couple of ideas when he first took over, and what the first idea was he wanted to basically implement what employees wanted, and so he held a bunch of town halls and basically solicited over 100 ideas from the employees. And he had actually the employees vote on what they thought were the top ones that they thought they wanted to implement. And so he implemented the first 10. That was his first idea in the first year. And it turned out after the first year, the rankings came out from that study that you cited. And after implementing the first 10 ideas, they only rose one ranking from 211 to 210. And so he decided to try again and do something else. And he continued down the list. And a couple of ideas, one in particular, was making bonuses fairer. And so he thought maybe financial incentives would help get people a little more motivated and like their work a little bit more. And at the end of the year, they reassessed and looked at the rankings again. And sadly, it went back to 211.
Gosh.
So...
The initial efforts, as well planned as they were and well-intentioned as they were, they didn't work. So in his third year as director, you mentioned in your article, Ed decides to go to the Bible to find out what God says about work. What did he discover?
Yeah, that's right. So Ed and I actually went to church together in D.C. and had some great teaching about a full view of Scripture and from it, the creation, fall, and redemption. And so what he first started out was he went back to creation and he thought, what is the image of God in people and how can we see God enjoying his own work? And as he looked at God's work and what he was doing, at the end of every day, Ed realized that the Lord gave himself kind of what we would call a performance review. And so he would say, you know, I made this today and it is good. I made this, it is good. And at the end of the whole week, he said, it is very good. And so what Ed saw was basically God working and not only working and doing good work, but also enjoying the work he was doing. And so he realized he needed to basically reinvent and reassess and reframe all of the Mint to basically have a larger narrative so that people could see that they were a part of something bigger. And so that's what he did. He created a big mantra, basically, that I don't know if that's the right word, but
kind of a rebranding campaign at the Mint, in a sense.
Rebranding. And he called it Connecting America Through Coins. And he started looking at what was the significance of coins in America? We flip coins to choose which football team goes first. We throw coins in wishing wells. They serve as our ambassadors quite often when they go to foreign countries. They even testify to our history. If you look at our presidents on there, it's significant icons of monuments that we have. And so he basically started looking at the significance of this much larger picture and tried to disassociate people's work. When work is just our paycheck and when it's just something we do to get money, we start to devalue the work that we're doing, and we basically, it becomes less about the contribution we're making to society and more about the remuneration that we're receiving for the work.
And it's fascinating to see what happened to the employee morale when he was able to connect the purpose of coins to their daily work, even if they were just, you know, stamping quarters. What happened with the employee morale?
Yeah, so after about 3 years, when they did the survey again, it went from 211 to number 58.
Wow!
So it was the biggest change in the history of the survey for any federal agency, and people really started enjoying their work again. So it was drastic change. Yeah, it wasn't easy. A lot of the work that the Mint does is factory work, so it's a lot of, you know, quality control and framing and molding coins. So this wasn't an easy feat to do by any stretch, but it was worth it.
Certainly. Our guest is Bethany Jenkins. She's the director of the Gospel Coalition's Every Square Inch. We'll take a quick break and find out what all of us can learn from Ed Moy's experiences at the U.S. Mint. Stick with us. Welcome back. This is the Faith Radio Network. It's 47 minutes past the hour. This is Bill Meyer, and my guest is Bethany Jenkins, the director of the Gospel Coalition's Every Square Inch. She also is the director of vocational and career development at the King's College, located in New York City. And we've been talking about the story of Ed Moy at the U.S. Mint, the former director of the U.S. Mint, and what he did to connect every employee's job, some of those somewhat menial tasks, to the bigger picture, the bigger narrative of coins in America, and how that turned employee morale around dramatically. Bethany, according to the research, what happens when we're able to connect our work to a higher purpose?
Well, studies show that those who do that, whether they're a janitor or a factory worker or even, and this might sound ironic, but coming from New York City, but even a banker, sometimes that can be very boring, tend to be more satisfied with their jobs. They put in longer hours, they have fewer absences, and they just find meaning in what they're doing. One of the psychologists that I researched when I was writing this article, he basically likened making meaning out of the small task to climbing a mountain. And he looked at mountain climbers and said, you know, here are these people who the books on mountain climbers are not full of moments of joy and happiness, but they're actually full of a lot of misery. There's frostbite, hard time to breathe, challenging difficulty of walking. And yet at the end, you would think when they got to the top, they would say, I'm never going to do that again. But they actually go back down and climb it. And so the question becomes, what is going on in their psychology that they continue to go back and do these painful things? I can relate to that because I run marathons, and it's not a fun experience. But then at the end of a marathon, I want to run it again. Hmm. And what he really highlighted was this idea of what mountain climbing or marathon running or anything that requires daily activity that reaches towards a larger goal, what that gives us is this struggle of caring. We care about the fight. We care about the end. We care about making progress. And we care about having a sense of purpose. So we can actually endure a lot of things on a daily basis if we can connect those daily things to this greater purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, we see that in Christ, and we see that in the life of Paul, too. The amount of suffering Paul endured and even like received voluntarily, he could do that because he was connecting it to this idea of ushering a people in to love the Lord and to know him. And Christ, too, he said, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. The cross wasn't the goal necessarily. We were the goal. The joy was us. But yet he endured it because he had this bigger grasp of what narrative was happening.
Mm. Let's say, Bethany, somebody is listening who has a hard time believing that their work actually matters to God. What would you tell them?
I think the question is, whether it's work or whatever circumstance you're in, I'm single and I sometimes wonder, does my singleness matter? How does this play out? And I often go to the end of, Hebrews 11. It's right after the roll call of the faithful is what Hebrews 11 talks about. And it talks about all these people who basically followed the Lord and they were great and by faith they were justified. And at the very end, the writer of Hebrews says that, you know, all of these, he mentions people unnamed at the end, and he says, all of these, though commended through their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better for us, that apart from them, they should not be made perfect. And so I think there's this sense of a recognition that even if we can't see it, there's something greater going on. That's hard. There's things in my life that I don't understand the purpose, but we're not necessarily called to understand everything. We're just called to trust. And so that's hard. That's not an easy word to say, but there is a certain amount of endurance if we can know that we're a part of this bigger picture. And as Christians, we know we're a part of a bigger picture, even if our particular workplaces don't paint that picture for us.
What if somebody is feeling really burned out on their job right now, burned out at work? What would you say is an appropriate biblical response when you just feel like throwing in the towel?
So that was actually earlier for me. I turned 40 this year, and I was very burned out. What I generally do is I separate my approach to anything and work in particular into three categories: heart, community, and world. And the heart perspective is basically the first thing I do is I check my heart. I check my motivations for why I'm working. Am I burnt out because I am overextending myself and I am trying to find my identity in my work? Or am I burned out because the work itself is just impossible? The first thing I do is I check my heart, because I may not need to change anything except my heart. The second thing I do is I go to community and I think about, well, community for me, who are my clients? Who are my colleagues? Who are the people that I'm interacting with on a daily basis? Am I burnt out because I have a difficult boss? Am I burnt out because my colleague is very challenging and takes credit for everything I'm doing? Am I burnt out because there's gossip at my office? So what's going on with the people that I'm working with? And then the third thing I think about is world, and that's my relationship with the work itself. So if the first is heart, which is my relationship with the Lord, the second is my relationship with others, the third, world, is my relationship with work, and I ask myself, am I approaching the work itself? Am I being innovative? Am I approaching it with a redemptive perspective? Am I trying to insert the gospel into the work that I'm doing myself? And so I think the first thing, if you're burnout, is to think about which one of those three is really going on. And that's actually a hard thing to do. For me this summer, it happened to be my heart itself. And so I actually went to counseling at my church, and we talked a lot about what it means to be an adopted child of God and how sonship really changes our approach to work. And I have come back. I took about a little break from work, actually a sabbatical, and I've come back so reinvigorated, and I'm having so much more fun, and nothing changed in the two latter categories. It was just an issue of my heart.
Boy, that's a great example for all of us, Bethany. Before we go, just tell us a little bit about the Gospel Coalition's Every Square Inch. What do you do?
So I thank you for asking. I run the Faith and Work channel, and so we basically, that's sometimes people don't understand what that means. So what I basically say is all of life discipleship. So the gospel isn't just important to our private lives, which is our home and our church, but it's actually important for our public lives and how we live it out. And so what I try to do is celebrate the work that people are doing that isn't part of the formal church, more the scattered church. It's really fun. It's fun to celebrate others.
So what can folks find through some of your articles and some of the connections that you make there through Gospel Coalition?
Yeah, so we do an interview every week of someone. We call it TGC Vocations. So there should be one up there today. It's usually on Wednesdays or sometimes on Thursdays. So that's fun, just to highlight and profile different people doing different things. So often people will tell me, well, you don't want to, if they're not the founder or CEO of a company, they'll say, well, you don't want to talk to me. I'm a little person that doesn't know anything. And I said, no, you're actually the person I do want to talk to. People who are just working and doing everyday work are so encouraging. So you can find interviews, you can find articles that we try to think about. We try to think about, you know, the different aspects. We've written about what it means to be public about your faith at work. We've written, which I wrote a story about my time at the State Department, which was interesting. And we do stories like the one on Ed Moy, and we just try to do anything that can serve the local church. We love the local church and what pastors are doing. So,
well, we love your work, Bethany. Want to steer folks to the Gospel Coalition's website and check out the Every Square Inch section with Bethany Jenkins. Bethany, thanks so much for your time this morning. May the Lord bless you and have a wonderful
Christmas.
Thank
you for having me. You too.